I had a lot of opportunity last week to kind of just listen to messages, so I soaked pretty much for a whole week. Couldn't do much else. I couldn't read even very much, so I just listened. Heard some interesting things. You have an announcement?
Oh, he wants me to do the birthdays.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Okay, well, we're going to start with Dorothy tomorrow. She's going to be with her children. Yes, so we wish her happy birthday. And then Timothy, who's 16 years old, and he's gone too to the young group discussion. Yuma, and she's going to be, no, I'm not saying her age. It's on the 20th of birthday, and Timothy is on the 9th. And Jamin, I wonder how old he is, though. It's on the 23rd that he'll be 18 years old. Wow. And then, last but not least, is Pastor Christine. It'll be on the 27th. She's much, much better right there.
She will. She will. Any other announcements that I... Oh, yes, we return to prayer next Saturday at NBC, 6 o'clock. And I encourage you to join us. God's prayers, the prayers of His people are meaningful and accomplish the purposes and plans that God has. Okay. Had a most interesting experience last night, or this morning rather. I spent the last number of days, as I said, soaking in the Word and trying to get a message for today. And everything was like dust. I mean, it just... I couldn't stir anything up to save my bacon. And I was praying and praying and asking God. And it's not like I didn't put in the time, but nothing was coming. Absolutely nothing. And so I went to bed about 1 this morning, whining a little, you know. So, you know, I could use a break, you know, Lord. And about 2 o'clock, an hour later, all of a sudden, this epiphany comes on me. And I jumped out of bed and ran to my desk, which isn't very far, and started writing feverishly the things that the Spirit of the Lord was saying to me. And at the same time thinking, couldn't you have done this 3 hours ago? No. And a realization came to me, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit I'm this stupid, but I heard the Spirit of God saying to me, look at Daniel chapter 10 and read it. So I did. And I realized that in Daniel chapter 10, it talks about how he prayed for 20 some odd days before the answer came. And now when the answer did come, the angel said to him, God heard your prayer first day you prayed. And he sent me to answer it. But I have had trouble getting the answer to you because there's opposition. The enemy has withstood me. And it had never occurred to me that that could happen to me. You know, like I thought, we're just not that important. You know, I mean, it's a message. And I realized that there are so many times when we don't know, we don't even realize or know, but the opposition is there to hinder, to stop, to distort, to do anything he can to throw us off. In any circumstances that he can. And that we're all important to God. Everybody is. And so it was a word of realization that don't give up. You know, when you're praying for something, do not assume God said no. Do not assume that the answer is not coming. Don't make assumptions other than God's word is always true.
Amen.
In every situation, and that God is a gracious and a kind person.
Amen.
And that staying with it, whatever you're praying for, whether it's a breakthrough in some area, or it is healing, finances, if you are open to God's guidance and any necessary corrections, the answer will come. The answer will come. But there will be opposition. There will be opposition. The devil doesn't want you blessed. And that God, that's why it's so interesting, I was reminded, and my thinking isn't as clear as it should be today, so I can't remember the guy's name, but he's a famous preacher who talks about God can't do anything unless his people pray or ask him. That he has given this world over to us, and that it's through our prayers that things happen. And so we shouldn't lose heart for the areas that we are believing God for. They're going to come. Maybe not this morning, but they're going to come. God is a faithful God. He is faithful. And so the word that I have today is actually kind of an interesting word. It's about the word. About God's word and how precious and meaningful it is to him. What he thinks of his word. What he is telling us about his word. And what he wants you and I to understand about his word. And so I challenge you this. Oh, I really hope you'll just do it, to be honest. This month, there's only 6 scriptures. But I really want to encourage you to meditate on them. Think about them. And I believe that. And I'm going to do it too, just so you don't think you're alone. I believe that the potential impact of these scriptures is enormous. Absolutely enormous. My prayer is that if we can get a revelation of them, what they really mean to us, and what God is trying to impart to us through these 6 scriptures, that it can be life-transforming. So the first one is in John chapter 6. It's not unfamiliar, I hope. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus is making a profound statement about the Word of God. It's a profound statement. And unfortunately, for many years, we read this and it didn't impact the way it has in the last year for me. Jesus said, and we know that God can't lie. We know that he cannot lie. And Jesus said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit who gives life. So that tells me that I must have the Holy Spirit. I must have the Holy Spirit. He is the one who will bring alive the things of God. But the focus this morning is not on the Holy Spirit. It is on the Word of God. And he goes on to say, the flesh profits nothing. So intellectually, we can know a whole pile of things and still know nothing about God. The words that I speak to you, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. The word of God is spirit, and that's Zoe. It's a Zoe life. You know, it's a Zoe. It is the spirit filled of God and the life of God. There is life in the word. The word of God has life in it, and it's a spiritual word. It's a spiritual word, which tells me that my intellect by itself won't be able to capture, understand, comprehend the words that Jesus is speaking without the help of the Holy Spirit. Without his help, it will not bring about the results that God wants to. And so this is the foundation of the Word of God, really, for us this morning, that the words that Jesus speaks, the Word of God, are spirit and their life. Their spirit and their life. And then the second scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 4. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and see what else he's got to say about it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And here he says, "For the word of God is living and powerful." It's living. Again, he's referencing it that there is life in the word of God. There's life. There is a living component inside the word of God. It's a living, and it's not only alive, it's powerful. It's powerful. And if we can understand that the word of God is a spiritual word, that it's a living word, that it's an alive word, that it is a powerful word, then our respect for the Word of God increases. It increases. I dare say if I handed you a stick of dynamite, you'd be careful handling it. And if I lit it up, you'd be super careful handling it. Wouldn't you? Why? Because the impact of it could kill you. The Word of God is meant to bring life. It's meant to bring life. It's meant to bring life to the areas that perhaps even are dead in our own lives. But God intends for His Word to be living inside of you, to be living inside of me. He intends for His Word to bring life to the areas inside of us. And that when we read a scripture, we're not just reading words, we're reading something that God said is spirit, it's life, it's living, and it's powerful. That's the thing that we're looking at. When we're looking at the Word of God, we're not just looking at words on a page. The words on a page are just for the intellect. But the life within those words, the life of God, the spiritual component that's in those words, the living component in those words, is powerful. It's supernaturally powerful. And it can raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the leper. It can change our lives. It can change them. But if the Word is not living within us, if it's not living within us, if it's just something that we're memorizing, then it's not powerful. It's not powerful. I remember being in a church where we would, the goal was to read through the Bible in 1 year. And we did. It basically had little to no impact on anybody. Because you had to read a minimum of 6 chapters a night, every night, for a whole year. And so the goal was to rush through it, get it done as quickly as possible. And the words that we read didn't impact because we didn't take the time to meditate on them, to soak in them. We didn't take the time to let those words come alive in our own spirit. We didn't pray over them and ask the Holy Spirit to bring life, the life of God of these words that we're reading. Bring them alive in our spirit. That's when they're going to accomplish something. When they become living and powerful in your spirit. There's life in the Word. There's life. There is a supernatural life in the Word of God. And Jesus started off by saying, "My words are spirit." So don't try to grasp this with your mind. You need your mind involved, naturally. But if that's all you bring to the table, you're going to come away unhappy. He said, "My words are spirit and they're life." They're alive. My word is alive. My word is alive, Jesus said. When you read my word, you have to read it from an understanding that this is a living word. And God watches over his word constantly. Constantly. to see that it is performed. Next scripture, the third one now, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Again, not an unfamiliar one. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, says the Lord, it shall not return to me void or without fruit, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So what is he telling us here? He's telling us that his word is never empty. It's never empty. And that when it is spoken in faith, and how does that become faith? How does it become faith? As we meditate in that word, it comes alive inside of us. It becomes a living, powerful word inside of us. It becomes faith. And when we speak it in faith, it will not return empty. See, we need to become convinced that when we speak the word of God, it will accomplish what we're asking, because we're speaking in faith. And it takes time to get to that place. We don't get to it overnight. It takes time for that to happen. It takes time for this word to become spiritual life inside of us. That's really what you're doing, is you're bringing the word alive by meditating in it, by praying over it, by speaking it, by just telling God, I believe it's true. I believe that your word is true. I believe that your word is true. I believe your word is powerful. I believe it's living, Lord. I believe it is. And as I tell God that, my own spirit is listening. And you believe what you say. That's why you need to say it. You need to say it. Not someone for you, but you need to say it yourself. Because you believe what you say more than you believe what others say. Sorry. And the word living inside of you becomes more and more alive. It becomes a living word. Not just words on a page. Not just a promise that you hope for. But it becomes supernatural. Supernatural. And God desires that you and I believe his word. He desires that. It's a living, powerful word with supernatural capabilities. For example, in Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, he sent his word to heal them and to deliver them from all their calamities. He sent his word. He sent his word. Now, that's can be interpreted as, of course, he sent Jesus. But he also sent his word. The word is there for you and I to not only heal us, but to deliver us. He sent his word to deliver us. And it talks about how the angels, what are they heeding?
The voice of his word.
A little louder?
The voice of his word.
The voice of his word. Not just his word, the voice of his word. What do you hear when you hear the voice of his word? It has to be spoken out loud. The voice of his word, by definition, means out loud. Heed the voice of his word, not the desperate intentions of your heart, but the voice of his word. So that you and I have been given the privilege of speaking the word of God. We've been given that privilege to speak the word of God. But in order for that word to become supernatural in us, it has to become alive. It has to become a living word. It has to become a powerful word. But it will in due course. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, the centurion said to Jesus, speak a word. Speak a word, and my servant shall be healed. Speak a word. That's all he had to do. He said, just Jesus. And Jesus, what did Jesus respond to that? Anybody know? Oh boy, you better read up on it. Eh? See, it's so important. You can't. This word won't become living in you unless you know it. You got to know. Jesus was so impressed with him. I mean, he was, what's the word that's used? There's somebody, uber impressed? Is that appropriate? Yeah, he was really impressed. Really impressed. He said, speak a word. Speak a word. Just a word. Your word. Speak a word, Jesus. Your word. And my servant will be healed. That's all you have to do, Jesus. Just speak a word. The man had an understanding of it. He had an understanding that the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. It's supernatural. So that's the place today, if we get nothing else, that we understand that the Word of God is a spiritual Word. It has life in it. It's living. It's alive. And it's powerful. And that's the way it's supposed to be in you and I. The Word inside of us, we wonder, going, why isn't my faith working? Well, there are a number of possibilities. One is that we haven't come to the place where that Word is living in me yet. Or there could be just opposition and you've got to stay steady. Or there could be something in our lives that God's addressing first. But the Word of God is a powerful, living Word. Now, this next scripture, the last one here, is an amazing one. It really is. So I want to read it so that you know it's the truth. Psalm 138. It's an amazing word that God says here. The latter part of verse 2. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You have magnified your word above all your name. And the name, the word name there sometimes is transferred or translated authority. And what he's saying is that God commits to his word, that the reference being that in those times kings could change things because they were kings. And so their word could change this, and then they could contradict themselves and set their own rules and then change their rules. But he's saying here that God lives by his own rules, by his word, and that he keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. That whatever God has promised in the word, he stands by it. God stands by it. You can, as they say, take it to the bank. That there is a God who says, this is the word I have spoken, and I will stand by this word. I won't change it to suit my plans and purposes. I won't make any kind of transition in it. But I will honor it because it's my word. It's my word. It's my word. And it's a living word. It's a powerful word. It's a supernatural word. If we can understand that God is a supernatural being, he's a supernatural being. And that although we don't see him with our naked eye, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He is a supernatural being. And he has manifested, I've seen him manifest himself a number of times in different situations. God is always faithful to his word. And if you and I could grasp this morning that this the words in this book, these words are supernatural words. When we read that I am the Lord that healeth thee, I am the Lord who heals all our diseases, all of them. He heals all of them. That God is not willing that any should perish when you're praying for someone who's lost. You know that God doesn't want them to be lost. God doesn't want them to be lost. But he'll lead you in the appropriate prayers, that sometimes it's just that the enemy has put a blinder over their eyes and they can't see. Or there could be something else binding them. That's why we need the Holy Spirit as well. We need the Holy Spirit with the Word. Because there are strategies. You know, God has his kingdom, the devil has his kingdom. And they work against us. They do everything they can to throw us off, to make us be discouraged and not believe God. But as we stay committed to the Word, we seek God, until he comes. Until he comes. See, therein lies a key, is that we tend to want everything quickly and easily, including God. And that we don't have a lifestyle of commitment, of spending quality time with God. Most people don't. And God is a person who invests himself in us. And he wants you and I to invest ourselves in him, so that we stay with him until the answer comes. And Daniel is a perfect example of that, that he kept praying. He kept praying day 1, day 2, day 3, day 15, day 18, day 20. Because he trusted and believed God. Even though he didn't see the answer immediately, he trusted and believed God. And you and I, when we pray the word of God, we need to stay with it until the answer comes. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do anything else but pray. I don't mean that. But I'm saying that we don't kind of let it just slip out of our consciousness. You know, I prayed this last week. It didn't happen. We'll try something else. God is looking for people who will give of themselves to him. There are things in this earth that won't happen unless you and I pray. They won't happen. And in the days that we're living now, we desperately need God to intervene. We need him to intervene. Thank God we don't have guns so much in Canada, but not a day goes by that there aren't people shot in the States. A little 7-year-old girl was killed a few days ago. Her crying was sitting in the back seat when her mother was drove to the convenience store to pick up some chips or something, and some character in a red truck drove by, pulled up, boom, 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 and took off. And the little girl's dead. 7 years old. The world doesn't make much sense these days. These things going on. We need God. We need him to intervene in our lives. We need his protection. We need the word of God to be living inside of us. And he's telling us. Jesus is telling us. He's saying, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. The words that I speak to you are living and they're powerful. Just those four things, if we could understand them, if we could grasp them, if they could become a spiritual reality in us, can you imagine how we would change? Amen. If we really believe that the Word of God is spiritual, it's alive, it's powerful, how that would change the way we live. Well, we can. See, we can. But we've got to invest ourselves. Do we get to the place where we understand that the Word of God will not return void? It doesn't mean your answer will come in the next 10 seconds, but it means the Word will not return void. That it has the power to heal, and it will heal. It will heal. It will heal. Can you imagine that the Exodus, when they left Egypt, the estimates are somewhere between 1 million and 2 million people. What was the remarkable thing about them?
Not one feeble body among them.
Louder.
Not one feeble body among them.
Can you imagine trying to find, well, we'll take the low end, 1 million. Try to round up a million people and not one of them is feeble? What do you think the odds of doing that today?
Zero.
But that's the power of God. That's the power of God. And that happened because they were obedient to what he said. What did he tell them to do? There were two things he told them to do. One was put the blood over the doorposts. What did that do?
Protected them from the angel of death.
Yeah. It protected them. And what was the other thing he told them to do? Eat the lamb. Can you imagine that? Eating lamb and putting will take away all sickness and disease, and painting blood over your doorposts would protect you from death. That's God's word. That's God's word. But see, in order for that to become real, to become real, to become a faith word inside of you, you have got to invest yourself. You've got to invest yourself. Because while you're trying to do that, there's opposition. The enemy is doing everything he can to distract you, to discourage you, to make you want to quit, throw in the towel, to become angry. That's what he does. And to put resentments in our hearts. He works real hard at that. And he's been fairly successful. How does faith work?
By love.
By love. By love. And you see, if I can't stand you, and I sit here because I don't want to be beside you, that's going to hinder my faith. Big time. Big time. And that goes on everywhere. There's so much resentments in people's hearts. And we've got to lay them down. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. And only God's love can overcome these things. Only God's love. You need a supernatural dose of it. But God will give it to us. This can be a year of tremendous possibilities for us. It really can. Tremendous possibilities. And God's already cheering for you. He's already cheering for you. Jesus is already praying for you. The Bible says he's... What's he doing? I think it's Hebrews 7:25. He's interceding for us. He doesn't want us to fail. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be made whole. He wants that. But we've got to cooperate with him. It's like you go to the doctor, as I did 10 days ago, I think it was. And I had cellulitis. That's pretty bad. It can kill you, actually. He gave me massive doses of penicillin. Well, 5 takes, I looked at them and said, well, yeah, thanks, doc, and threw them away. Would they have done me any good? No. See, the Word of God won't help us if we don't consume it. If we don't consume it. We need to let this Word become living inside of us. We need it to come alive inside of us. And believe God. Believe that He is everything that He said He is. Well, I don't know if I helped you, but it helped me. I did. And I will reflect on these scriptures for the next month. I want them to become alive in me. Living words. And something could be living inside of you and 6 months or a year later it's not. Amen. Hebrews 2:1. We must pay more careful attention to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. It's easy to drift away. Any questions? Thoughts?
Yep,
John 6:63, Hebrews 4:12, Isaiah 55:11, Psalm 107:20, Matthew 8:8, Psalm 138:2. So Lord, thank you that your word is a living word meant to bring life to us. Help us, Lord, to receive your word as a living word. Help us, O God, to embrace it and to give it place in our hearts, Jesus. In this day, Lord, we really need you. We need God. We need your wisdom. We need your understanding. We need your grace. And we need your power. Your word, you said, is living and powerful. And my prayer is that it would become living and powerful inside each and every one of us.
Absolutely.